It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Byrne. I am Willie B. Appreciate your time. We are fired up. It's presented by our friends at CarParts.com. I'm telling you, this is so easy to get car parts dropped right to your front door, back door, your garage door, your shop door. And the best thing is, you're choosing the parts, not somebody busy texting his girlfriend on the other side of a counter at your local parts store. You know how it is, Bird. You know how it is.
You got to love it. You got to love it. And today you got to love it because, man, we have the coolest, the absolute coolest guest on. It's going to be so much fun, man. A good friend of mine, you know, I know you guys have gotten to hang out many times now, so I think you guys are brewing this awesome relationship, and man, it's going to be so much fun to go back in time a little bit with this person, look forward, what's going on today and the next steps, and just talk cars, man. This is going to be a blast.
You going to tell us who it is, man? Are you just going to give us that ultimate teaser and not let the cat out the bag? Come on.
Not till the very end of the show. At the very end of the show, I'll tell you who it was that we were talking to.
Man, it's funny, man, because when you look at how we all got into hot rodding, right, how we all started with that fascination of cars, that love of the automobile, and, you know, for a lot of us, it was a V8. It may have been something different or weird, you know, depending on, you know, probably your parents. It was weird for you. You were the few guys I really recall that, you know, was your dad wasn't necessarily into it. You just got into hot rods kind of how? Because for me, my first memory in life was watching my dad blast down the strip with, you know, in a quarter mile at Clay City Drag Strip in Kentucky in a 57 Chevy. You know, that's my very first memory in life.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous of that. Yeah, I had zero car influence. So it's purely me just being the black swan or the black duck or whatever it is of the family and going, I'm into that. And that's where I'm going. You know, like my parents looking at me like 15, 16, got my first car and tore it all apart, you know, with no influence. No one to explain how it goes together. Right. I got Chilton's manuals and I'm looking at hot rod magazines and they're like, what is this kid doing? So, yeah, that was my start in it. But our guest today, her dad was 27-time SCCA champion.
I say he's pretty good, man.
I don't even know how you win something 27 times. How do you do that? Like,
I bet he tried to win 37 times or 47 times. You know, that's how you win 27 times. The winner has lost more than the losers ever tried.
Because my try to win anything one time, hasn't worked. So I need to start at 37. And maybe I'll get to 27.
Do you remember back in the day, man, do you ever have field day when you went to elementary school?
Field day was awesome.
Yeah, man. And you would go, okay, this year, the 1,000-yard, you know, race, I'm gonna train. I'm going to get good. I'm going to do better than I did, you know, last year. And you train like 3 days before field day. and then realize that, you know, you get gassed by about half through the 1,000 yards, you'd be like, I might have trained or should have trained a little harder. when your dad is that good and has that, you know, luxury and that pedigree, man, dude, it's I bet a blessing and a curse. And when we speak with Courtney Hanson coming up next, you're going to find out. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Byrne. I am Willie B. And we're back with Courtney.
Yeah.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Byrne. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. I'm telling you guys, I use them. I really encourage you to as well because it takes the equation of the dumb behind the counter. Now, I don't mean that as bad as it sounds, but you and I both know that we have been, you know, that victim. That circumstance happens more often than not. You always get the wrong part at a parts store. This way, you're ordering it. You're picking it.
It's the smarter way to shop. Right. And we're doing it all the time in everything we do in these days. Right. You just open the app, boop, boop, boop. You hit the button and there it is. It shows up. It's what you ordered. It's what you want. And you got 90 days to send it back. That is awesome.
Yeah, man. CarParts.com. Easy to navigate. Really recommend you go check it out today. And I'm fired up, man. We got a cool guest. We've got a lot of memories, you more than me, but already, man, a few times, you know, we went rodeo riding together. This girl straight kicks butt, man. She is a blast. We're thrilled to have Courtney Hanson on with us. And Courtney, hey, welcome back, girl. Thanks so much for your time and for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. This is really cool. I'm at my mom's house right now, and my daughter just came.
Oh, look at your daughter, yeah.
Oh, man, look at that little sunshine.
This is Holland, and she's getting ready to go play soccer. I'll see you at the soccer field. Okay.
What a beauty, just like the mom, man. Apple didn't fall far from that tree.
She's the coolest. We have so much fun.
Yeah, she's got to be, what, 7 by now?
She's going to be 7 in July. I can't believe it, Berg. I mean, do you remember, like, we were kids on Overhaulin, and all these years later, like, we have kids of our own. It's crazy.
I know. So you got 7. I got a 4. Willie's got a, what, a 2 and a 1?
I have a two-year-old and, a 9-month-old. And I got to tell you, man, it is insane. It is
you're
crazy.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll be breaking through soon. Not quite soon, but soon-ish.
Hey, my 2-year-old's driving right now. She's literally understands, getting a little battery-operated car. She can roll, man. She's a straight felon. She'll turn up the stereo in it. She'll parallel park, not even turn the stereo down. I'm like, she might as well go to jail at 3. Well, look, Courtney, hey, I got to ask you, you know, the lineage, you know, you with your daughter just now kind of made me think when I was, you know, sort of intro in the podcast and who he had, a huge influence for you had to be your dad, and it had to be so cool for you to watch your dad be triumphant and such a competitor. Like, did you ever sit back and think about your dad as the warrior that you probably now realize he was and is when you win 27 championships? It's like, whoa.
He's my hero, and he's certainly a huge inspiration in my life, and he's taught me obviously so much, but we've always been extremely close. Watching him, you know, through the years, I always thought he was a badass. And now I look back and I really appreciate it, you know, obviously so much more. And I really understand what he accomplished. And by the way, you guys were talking about the way that he was able to win 27 national championships is because he would race 3 different classes of cars in the same weekend and win in all of them.
I thought you were going to say he just cheated, because I was about to take notes. I'm like, I can do this.
So he was accused of it, obviously, because everybody was pissed off that he was winning all the time. And so there was a story where he actually said to another driver, if you think I'm cheating, how about this? You take my car, I'll take your car, and let's race. And you raced and beat him. So,
oh, really? Is that a real story? Like, yes, he really drove real that story. Guy's car?
Yes, he drove the guy's car, and the guy drove his car, and my dad won.
Of course, he put like something behind the throttle pedal so it wouldn't go down all the way, but you know.
Well, you know, it's what I was saying. If to win 27 championships, you probably need to attempt 47, 57, 67. You know, that guy obviously was a competitor. When I raced pro motocross here, and I'd sign up in 3 or 4 different classes, you know, to get that pro license. That's what you got to do when it's such a, you know, fierce field of competition, and, you know, all the cars are engineered and designed the same. And you know, it says quite a lot about your dad and just the competitiveness to which he brought towards, you know, to the table in racing. It's pretty badass.
So were you like most of us, though, like around our dads? My dad was handy. You know, we worked around the house. He just wasn't into cars. But, you know, were you the one getting the tools and things like that, helping dad out when he was prepping or at the track? Were you spending a lot of time in the pits?
Yeah.
You guys owned a racetrack, too, right?
We did. We owned a raceway in Minnesota, Brainerd International Raceway. And so I grew up a pit kid. I was constantly hanging in the garages, watching the mechanics at work, for sure helping my dad and learning a lot. And I was a tomboy, and my sister was too. And we have an older brother, and the track was our life. I mean, it was certainly our entire summer. You know, it was hard to follow my dad around during the school year, but summers were just like full bore racing, whether we were at BIR or other racetracks throughout the Midwest or Road Atlanta.
Hey, if you grew up like that, then you know there's only 2 seasons. There's race season and not racing season.
Exactly. Linda Vaughn always says, we'll see you after the racing season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So obviously with such a passion for that growing up around that, you know, you kind of knew a little bit of your destiny probably as you were a kid and getting such a rich bloodline, you had to look around and go, well, you know, I could probably do that. I can compete. And, you know, I'm a girl. That probably brought a lot of attention as well. So how was that throughout your teenage years? Because we had one girl in my high school that had a crazy fast car, and her dad was one incredible mechanic. And that girl was a decent wrench turner as well. And everybody feared her more than anybody else. Because if you got beat by her, you got beat by a girl.
Well, for me, like I never got into it. My parents supported anything that I wanted to do or that my sister and brother wanted to do. However, they really like discouraged us from racing. And so, you know, I had talks with my dad about it, and he's just like, racing wasn't as safe back in the day. Not that it's safe, but it's a lot less dangerous these days. But,
right, right.
But back in the day, like he was borderline wearing a helmet or a seatbelt, you know? And so he was just discouraging me. It was like opposite of John Force. But he encouraged me to like love cars and to be in the garage and to get my hands dirty and to like, yeah. You know, I wasn't a girly girl. I was a total tomboy. And so, but I love that. I love that path, but I was always out enjoying the races and supporting my dad and we were always like wearing his racing number. And like, so I've grown up an enthusiast. It's in my blood. And here I am.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of started your own path, right? You went marketing. You went to what? Florida State, right?
Florida State, baby. Yes.
Yeah. And then somehow you came back around to the car thing. So it wasn't a direct shot, but it was like, it wouldn't let you go. It just, you know, or something gravitational pull, you know, tractor beam kind of sucked you back. I mean, was that kind of surprising in a way, or was that exciting in a way?
It was totally exciting. And it's like, once you get that bug, it never goes away. So I wanted an education. So I went to FSU. I had a blast. And then after getting an education and working for a bit in corporate America, I was just like, man, I want to pursue some different dreams. And I wanted to get back into doing TV hosting. I've never been an actress. And so I got the lead in a TV pilot. And that it was a golf show. It was a golf spoof on golf game show. And that brought me to Los Angeles. And then like soon into my, well, it's not true that it was soon. It was like 2 years in. I was working in four restaurants simultaneously to pay my bills. I didn't take any money from my father. I didn't take any money from anybody, period. And I just worked my butt off to be able to forge a path in Hollywood. And my agent called me one day and said, how much do you know about cars? And I was like, well, you know, even though I know a good bit, I certainly don't know everything, but I'm like everything. And so I got this audition because he was like, they don't want to see anybody who doesn't like really know cars. And so I went online and I studied everything I didn't know. And I just read and read and read for like 2 days straight, all about chip boost, all about car fabrication and engine mechanics.
She's like in the Fifth Element, you know, where yes. That girl is like flipping through the internet and learning everything.
Totally. Absolutely. I was just like a sponge. And then I went into the auditions and I guess they were blown away by my car knowledge. And originally the female role on Over Holland wasn't supposed to be such a big role. It was going to be like Pam Anderson on Tool Time, where I would pop in and hand ship Foose a wrench. I'd hand Kevin Bird a power tool. And so suddenly they were like, well, maybe we should make her a bigger position on the show. And so that's what started my path in automotive TV. And then it just kept going from there to Power Block, Power Nation, and many other things along the way, and some non-automotive things, and worked with NASCAR. And now I'm producing on the other side of the camera. But
yeah, what an awesome ride. And it was cool for me because I was kind of there on your first step, right? Because that was kind of my first step out of just pure engineering, getting into television, was the pilot of Over Holland. And, you know, something you might not have picked up on, you know, I remember Bud Brutzman was the producer, right? He was kind of recruiting me to fly out to California with a bunch of people I didn't know, throw us all in a garage with no plan and say, here, what can you do in a week? And, you know, the whole time I'm coming out, he's like, Bird, I got the most awesome host. Wait till you meet her. Dude, she is so cool. Like, there is nobody better in the whole entire universe. You're going to love her. She's perfect. She knows everything about cars.
Blah, 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 blah.
And damn straight, he wasn't lying. And it worked out phenomenal. And look, here you are today. Right?
Hey, hold on, you guys. You got to ask me. Ask me. Where was I when I got the TV invite? Go ahead.
I want to know. Quick. I want to know. Where were you?
All right, go ahead. Bird, ask me. Ask me. Hey, Willie. Yes. Yo.
Where were you there?
Where were you?
Where were you
when that TV thing came around?
I was at the drag strip, cuz, no lie. I was racing my car, and I got to ask about it. True story. So it's interesting the past that have led us, you know, even today to be together, which is really cool. And now that you're, you know, you're on the other side of it, right? Now you're producing. Now, you know, is that probably empowering? It's probably cool. And it's probably great for you to know what that vision is and be able to create it, you know, and watch it come to fruition.
Yes, it's a lot of work, but it's also really exciting. Along the way, I watched Bud and the other producers I've worked with, and I've always found the process so fascinating, and I it was my dream to get into producing and to create concepts that I believe in or that I want to share with the viewers. And so the show I'm doing now was a lifelong dream, and I'm so excited about it. But man, it is intense. It is a grind, and I'm working every minute of every day and night, and it's a lot.
It always sounds so great, like, oh man, I'm gonna make that leap. I'm gonna be the producer, I'm gonna be the boss. But if you think about working at a restaurant, how hard it is to work at the restaurant. When you own a restaurant, it's great because you have all the freedom in the world to schedule your own 80 hours a week, right? You just all this freedom to work, you know, 7 days a week and just kill yourself. And it's not all that's cracked up to be.
But
once you get on top of it, you know, once you become, you know, an experienced king or queen on the throne, it's got to be great. And you have got like several years of experience now in there, and you've got so many behind you, you know, on both sides of that camera. So this is really cool to watch just you grow and blossom and, you know, conquer the world.
Is it automotive base?
Yes, it is. So the first show that I produced was with Troy Ladd. You guys know Troy, Hollywood Hot Rods.
We had him on a little while ago.
Yes. Oh, cool. And yeah, of course, he's legendary. And we had the show was called The Ride That Got Away. And we would reunite deserving people with their dream cars, and we shot it in California. Ooh. We had this awesome team, and it was a blast. And we did six 1 hour episodes. And then now I'm doing another series. It's called Ride of Your Life. And I'm working with Will Posey of Big Oak Garage, who is absolutely incredible. One of the greatest talents out there. And we've assembled a team in Georgia, and it brings me closer to Florida because I have to be in Florida for a good part of the year. And there are also amazing tax credits in Georgia.
Yeah, there is.
So there we are, and we're doing 12 one-hour episodes, and we're about 90% through the season, and it's been an intense road, but in a good way. I mean, it's just a lot of work. And especially with this year of COVID, it's been really tough to get the product that we need on time.
Yeah.
And there's product delays and shipping delays.
We're seeing that with every, you know, across the board with all these industry people we talk to and speak with. They're all, everything's backed up, jammed up, behind, you know, back ordered and so forth. So consider yourself lucky if you're getting anything. I do want to say that concept about, you know, reuniting with your car, man, what a great concept. Cause I just bought back a car I sold a couple years ago, when my daughter was born. And it just so happened a weird turn of events came up. Yeah. I built from the ground up a Hemi Dodge Charger, real cool, unique car. And I built it from the ground up, and I sold it at a Mecum auction, and I kept the money cause I wasn't sure what to put it in. And long story, you know, it popped back up in my life and an opportunity to get it. So I brought it back home, and now I'm just going to give that to my daughter as her, like, you know, 20th birthday gift. And I got a 4-speed 68 Charger RT I'm going to give my son and be like, all right, there you go. You guys got some chargers. So it's just kind of cool to be able to do that. And it was really cool to get that car back. Man, I felt like I was missing something when I sold it. And to be able to bring those back into those people's lives is really fascinating. And it's crazy the connection you can have with a car. It's absolutely unbelievable the connection you could have with an inanimate piece of steel machinery. But God, it does create something in your heart, in your gut, in your mind. There's endorphins, you know. There's, you know, all the good stuff released in your mind. The serotonin just laces you up. You're just like, ta-da! I got it back. I can't believe it.
Yes.
You know, so yeah,
totally. It's like they're like children when we really are that passionate about our cars and love them so much. I mean, it's like another child in our life. And so in this case, we're reuniting deserving people with their dream ride, but we make it into a work of art first and then give it to them.
Fantastic. Well, what a double whammy, man. Let's hear some more about this. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna get more about, you know, we talked a lot about the past with Courtney, but now we are in the present and the future. So you guys stick around. We'll be right back. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast with Willie B and Kevin Bird.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. He's the handsome one. I am Willie B. I'm the other one. And we have Courtney Hansen on the podcast as well. It's brought to you by our friends at carparts.com. If you have not tried this, it's easy. It's intuitive. Simple app to navigate, use. Hop online. Check them out. Carparts.com. And where does it drop the parts, Kev? I think you know this, right?
Right to your door.
Yes. Your bathroom door, not so much. Your front door, probably.
Wherever you tell them, man. It's your choice, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Just put a little note in there.
Yep. Hey, now, Courtney, I got to ask, with some of these new project shows and concepts, how does it feel for you being a producer, but also kind of you got to see the whole thing from 10,000 feet? And, you know, from the time it's a baby, an infant, to the time it's all cut and all the tape has hit the floor, you get to watch this vision kind of grow into reality. Is that pretty cool for you in that regard? And how does that feel? It's a lot of responsibility, right?
Oh, it feels really, really cool and gratifying, but it's a tremendous amount of responsibility. And there actually aren't even words for it. I mean, it's like so much to juggle with sponsors and product and making sure we have the parts on time. And then there's COVID delays and things just aren't available. And then we've got a build team of people and we need to keep them happy. And it's a ton of work. And you guys know what these days are.
Does it give you a little different perspective, you know, from being on the overhauling days, you and Kev? do you look at it through a little different or more understanding lens now?
Totally. I have a whole new respect for Bud Bussman and every producer out there. I have a whole new level of respect, and I just, wow, it's a lot, but it's so, again, gratifying, and like it's all coming together, and we're almost done with this season of Ride of Your Life, and again, we're reuniting deserving people, who veterans and people who give back to their communities and make the world a better place. We're reuniting them with their long lost dream car that they had to sell when they came on hard times.
Can you give us a hint as to some of the cars you guys are doing on the show?
Yeah, just a little hint. We won't tell anyone, we promise. It'll just stay right here in this little circle.
I guess four of them are going to SEMA, and we're building a bit of everything. All the quintessential American classics that we love, we're throwing in some from Europe, and you know, trucks and cars I don't know if I can divulge the cars, but but we're building a bit of everything, and I think you guys will really appreciate it, because
old school, new school, Chevy, Ford, Mopar.
Chevy, Ford, Mopar for sure. We did a VW this season. And just everything's cool, and each ride is completely different.
I know one of them, and I know what's going in it, but I won't say. I'll let you.
Okay, it's a secret. I think that's a secret.
How y'all gonna have a secret,
yeah,
man?
Mr. Spade sent me a little, you know, private picture. I was like, yeah.
Yes, it's gonna be cool. Really cool. It's a big challenge. That build is a huge challenge, but we're doing it, and it's gonna be special. And I can't wait to share it with you guys. Yeah, we're just building a bit of everything, you know, and that's how we keep it fun and diverse. And so every viewer tuning in will get to see something that they'll appreciate. And we have a lot of fun doing it too.
How do you find the owners? Like, how do you find the owner and then get the story and then, you know, find the car? I mean, that's got to be tough to piece all those things together, right? You need like Sherlock Holmes to track the stuff down, right?
It's a lot, because we don't want to do, you know, too many Chevys or too many Fords. We want to really mix it up, and we don't want to do all trucks, but we also don't want to do all muscle cars. So we have all these different criteria to keep it unique each week. And the way we find the stories is through actual like casting calls. And then we do background checks on the people to make sure that this is the real deal. But we're building each vehicle, or we've built actually, because we're almost done with the season, each vehicle for a very deserving person who gives back and makes the world a better place. And they had to part with that beloved ride, like you were talking about, Willie, when they came on hard times and you know, financial hardship, health issues, and all of those heartbreaking things. And so we make that ride into what they always dreamed of, and we give it to them in a surprise reveal, and it's really cool.
Oh man, that's too awesome. Now when might we finding the details here that we can't really talk about? when are we thinking, like sometime later this year?
No, I would say summer. Like we've been in this for a while now. Like we had many shutdowns due to COVID, so we've been at it for almost a year. And
okay.
And we hope to be able to have it edited and share it with you this summer.
Fantastic. Oh man, that's going to be exciting. Another great show. I mean, just as Willie talked about with his ride, yeah. It's a concept that we can all wrap our brain around. You know, any car person isn't really a car person if they haven't fallen in love with a car. Now, unfortunately for me, I haven't had very many good cars. So most of the ones that got away were like, whatever, you know, but I can still have, you know, a few of those little moments. I can still dream like the rest of us of reconnecting with something totally awesome.
What's your favorite car bird that you ever had?
Oh, man. Like I said, I haven't had, well, it's all perspective, right? To somebody else, maybe my cars were great, but probably my, you know, my M3 with the LS swap in it, the wide bodies. It's, you know, that's the one I spent a lot of my life getting to, you know, building something at that level, right? On my own with no shop, with no real help, just doing it all. So that one will be one that I probably will always hang on to. And I've got a 65 Fastback that I'm just kind of getting started. That's going to be just as wild, if not even crazier than the M3 build. So that's going to be fun. So those two I'll probably keep forever.
What about that BMW that you were driving on Power Tour?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The BMW M3 with LS.
Okay, yeah. That's the one. Yeah, yeah, because I remember that was the one. So cool. Oh, my God.
Not going to let go of that one. It's a pretty bitchin' ride, so yeah. For sure. And how about you? Do you have a car that you, you know, either wish you'd owned or had and it's gone and you wish you had it back? I think there was a kind of a loop like that with you way back when with Chip, maybe.
Yeah, like,
well, maybe a Camaro, a 90 Camaro. Yeah,
you remember. Yeah, my first car was a 90 Iraq Z, and I loved that car. It was so fast. And my dad, I think I had it before I turned, like, I got the car before I even turned 16. I was so excited about it. And my dad was still racing at that point. So, I mean, our family's all about going fast and enjoying the ride. And so it was like this thing with my dad and I, like, I have to get that car. It was a convertible and I was living in Florida, and there was a couple times that, like, I could have been in, you know, an accident, but we had so much fun.
Well, yeah, it'd be a fun one. All of us.
Like, I wouldn't mind getting it back. And like I have a 70 Camaro that's all original. And I think it's been a big debate whether I keep it original or have some fun modifying it. And I think I'm leaning towards keeping it original, but I would love to get my hands on a 90 Iroc Z and, like, just, I don't know, do something fun with it. Have some fun customizing it.
Now, I had an 82. So that was the first year of the third gen. That was my first car. And I modified everything. I mean, it had hood scoops and side pipes. Nice. It was pretty rednecky, but it was, at the time, it was nasty and the biggest cam you could put in, and it was loud and it was fast. Now 90, I'm trying to think, is that still a third gen or did that go into the fourth gen?
I think it's still a third gen. I think it's still a third gen.
So we were in the same car.
Yeah, we were in the same car.
Yeah, now mine was more just completely nasty. I call it my redneck science project. That's where I learned so much. Like, I built so many different motors for it, different combinations of stuff, just learning and building. So it wasn't ever as pretty and sexy, and eventually living in Florida with the salt air, it kind of rotted away. So because it rotted away, that's why I don't want that one back. But I could go for, you know, an IROC.
Yes.
You know, like, yes. They're coming around. People are really digging them. They're really missing them. So those values are shooting up and you're starting to see some cool builds, right?
Yeah. We're looking at a couple of them for the show. You know, I don't want to tell too much because we might give away, like, you know, the people that we've chosen for the show, but we're looking at a few of them, and they're definitely coming back. They're definitely, like, classics now. And so,
well, it's going to be fun, you know, to, especially, I still know what mine smelled like. I know every feature of it. I mean, that was my life for so long, in that car, you know, escaping the parents and, you know, your first taste of freedom, you know,
yes.
I remember everything about that car, but now to see them be, let's say, rethought, redesigned, reimagined, you know, as builds, that'll be kind of cool to watch. And, you know, I've seen a few of them, like, Troy Chapagna, I think, did a pretty nasty one a couple years ago or pretty recently, but it'll be neat to see those cars come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, like, something fresh, you know. I love how in the automotive industry it ebbs and flows, and I would love to see these cars out there, like, tricked out. And so yeah, I think that's on my agenda now. That's going to be one of the projects on my list.
Well, I got a side question for you. You know, back, I don't know how many years ago, and I know it's been part of your theme, like women in the automotive space. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, tough it might have been for you, you know, just dealing with being kind of the minority in this car guy space. But obviously you've just kicked ass. But you had a book out, you know, several years ago, right? The Garage Girl Guide to Everything You Need to Know About Your Car.
Yep.
And I know you've done a lot of different things. I mean, is that still, you know, kind of part of your persona that you, you know, you want to draw other women into this space and make them feel comfortable and let them learn?
Absolutely. And it makes me so happy to hear that I was even a part of inspiring any woman out there. That's absolutely my goal. Women and these younger generations, I wish that they loved cars as much as we do. I wish that they weren't all just about electronics. And I don't know, I still see so much passion among the younger generations, but I also see more and more women joining this world and designing cars and working on cars and caring about the car shows and out at the automotive events. And that makes me so happy. And so, heck yeah, I'm all about promoting other women and embracing other women. And even though I'm a tomboy, I'm a girl's girl. And it just makes me very happy to see how women are taking over the automotive space.
Well, it's cool because you mentioned a couple of different fields and it's wide open. And I think there's been a lot of pioneers and there's just been a lot more exposure, let's say through television and stuff, right? Or our sister show, All Girls Garage, I think has been a great sort of role model for a lot of young girls that can watch with their dads.
Yes.
But you know, I think you had your place in helping to kind of pave that road a little bit. You know, at first you seem like to maybe the outsider, like, oh, it's just a girl host. But I mean, I'll vouch for, you know, the first episode we did, the pilot, it was tough for everybody. You know, us builders were just thrown in a shop and you guys are thrown into a brand new hosting role. So the first one, you know, we had minimal interactions, but by the second or third episode, I remember doing that fastback we talked about earlier. You know, it must've been like episode 3 and that thing was all rotted. It was nasty. And we spent a couple, 2-3 days just gutting and cutting out rust and metal and grime. And here you are, you come in, you know, the sexy host and you're like, Bird, give me a grinder. Show me what to do. Let me do this. Give me this tool. And you're helping to bolt the transmission on and all these things, you know, like
yes.
you really were inspired to be a part of the team, you know, like, and it wasn't, you know, I have to show these guys. It was more of just your enthusiasm shown through, your passion shown through. And, you know, clearly you're not a mechanic and you don't choose to be, right? But you are in the space in your own way, whether you're producing, hosting. And like you mentioned, whether you're a designer, whether you want to be a welder, fabricator, whether you want to be into marketing for cars, like it's just such a great space. And it's cool to see, you know, you find your place in it and, you know, for the next generation of girls really be that little bit of inspiration, right?
Yeah, I love it. And back to overhauling, like I loved learning from you guys, you know, Chip, Fusa, obviously, and Troy Chapanier and you and Brian Fuller and like everyone who's a part of that show. I loved learning from you guys and you taught me so much. And I just enjoyed getting in there and helping with these builds and getting dirty. That Mustang episode, which is actually among my favorite, I cut off the front clip. Remember that with John Schultz and like, and it, because that thing was basically, it was a piece. It was a VIN number.
You cut the car in half. Dang it. You cut the car in half. We had to get a whole nother one and put it back on and weld it together.
Yeah. But it was so much fun. And I never have pretended to be a mechanic or a fabricator, but I will dive in and do a bit of everything. I've welded several times and I love it all. And now it's really fun to bring it all together on the other side of the camera. And I'm still, you know, hosting or being a character on the shows, whatever you want to call it. But it's cool to be on the other side too, and to be able to be creative with that side and bring an amazing team together and see these cars get built for worthy people. It's all just a blast.
Let's pivot a little bit to, you know, what is next? What's in your dreams? Where do you think you might be headed? Right. You've already accomplished probably more than I would have dreamed of. And I don't know what you thought of 20 years ago where you would be, but what could be down the road?
Well, so what's next is obviously Ride of Your Life is the name of the series, the current series. And then the brand is Royal Garage, which stands for Ride of Your Life. People are like, you forgot the A in Royal. I'm like, no, we know how to spell it. It stands for Ride of Your Life. And I really want to grow that brand. Like that's something that excites me. And And I've learned from some of the big names out there who've done a good job of that. I'm like, I watch them, I ask them questions, and like, I just think it would be really cool to create something that like is recognized globally. And then I really want to produce other content. I have other automotive shows I want to produce. And I also want to produce things in other genres. And you know, maybe some of them will just be straight commission sale shows, or some will be time buys, because now I know how to do that as well. I'm up for the challenge of creating content and doing it in all genres, but my heart will always be with automotive, and I will always be doing at least one automotive show on both sides.
Awesome.
Again. So,
well, you did a travel show a couple years ago, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I've done shows about travel, and there's been something about food, and there's something about golf, and that's all. Like, I like to mix it up. Like, I don't want to just be pigeonholed automotive, but again, it's my passion. It's where I came from, and it's where I'll always be going.
All right, the many facets of Courtney Hansen. Keep us posted. Right, we're gonna bring you back. But you guys check out, hopefully this summer, maybe at the latest in the fall, Ride of Your Life. This is going to be a great series. I think we can all get attached emotionally with our eyeballs, like visually. I'm sure it's going to be amazing builds. I know some of the builders on, and these guys rock. They're the top of the top. So it's going to be a great series, man. I'm looking forward to it. And an hour gives you a lot of great content.
Yes, Bird, there's a lot of great content. And it also makes you laugh. Like, these guys are hysterical. They're not only building cars from bumper to bumper, and a couple of them are in their 20s. And they've been doing this since they're 4 years old with their dads. But they're also so funny. I mean, they're lighting fires in the garage. They're blowing stuff up. Like, if they think a car is a piece and they want to just kind of start from scratch, they light it on fire. It's hysterical. And we've got little man, Mike Cook on the show, and he's a riot and with a huge personality. And so it's a show for everyone to watch. And I think even if you don't like totally love cars like we do, I think you would appreciate the series too. So I hope everybody will tune in.
Oh, we're going to be looking forward to it. So by all means, stay in touch. You guys check it out for the summer, hopefully. And where can people find you socially? Where can they follow you?
So on Facebook, it's Official Courtney Hansen. On Instagram, it's just my name, Courtney Hansen, and it's Hansen with an E. And then on Twitter, it's Courtney _, or it's Instagram, it's Courtney _. So, and now I'm getting on TikTok and Snapchat and all that stuff. I can't keep up.
Well, we lost Willie's audio here a minute ago, so I'm going to close the show today. Courtney, was awesome having you on there. All you guys out there, you know where to find her, and you know where to find us. You know where our TV show is. We're on Motor Trend. Check your local listings. Episodes now streaming on Motor Trend On Demand. Again, thanks to our guest, Courtney Hansen. Can't wait to see the new show. Hosts, Kevin Bird and Willie B. Producer, Scoop. And our executive producer, Bob Ecker. Now, don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're on social everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. The Two Guys Garage podcast. It's a copyright 2021 Britain Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. Well, folks, that is it. We had a blast. One of these days, we'll figure out where Willie went. We'll bring him on to the next episode. In the meantime, Courtney, have a great one, and I can't wait to catch you at SEMA or in the next car events, the Power Tour, you name it. Always a blast.
Thanks so much, you guys, for having me on.
All right, take care. See you guys. Two Guys Garage Podcast is produced by Britain Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.